Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome to feedback. 6 minutes after 8 a.m. on a Tuesday. 715-845-2155 is the phone number. 715-845-2155. If you would like to be part of the program. Unfortunately, we find ourselves one more time in a position of having to have a discussion about what in the heck is going on in our world after some nut job decides to take matters into his own hands and inappropriately and violently express his displeasure with other things and people by killing innocent people. This is a painful and horrific thing to even have to discuss. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of discussion about what do we do? What do we do to solve this problem? How do we help contain this? How do we cut back on this type of violence? What in the world can we possibly do? I don't think it's realistic for anyone to think that this problem can be solved completely. We are in a situation where we have freedoms, we have rights, we have responsibilities that go with those freedoms and rights. And unfortunately, there are people in our society who do not respect that and decide that they're going to do things on their own, whether it's criminal intent, whether it is mental deficiency. But that is part of the price that we have in our society. I had a very good discussion with a friend of mine who works in the Pentagon about our security, our national security, and what are we going to do. And surprisingly to me, he is an individual that is leaning on the side that it is better for our society to be secure at a risk or at the cost of our constitutional rights and freedoms. He is one that believes that the data collection that the NSA is doing, that the, for lack of a better term, intrusion into our privacy that security industries and the government spy agencies and so forth are doing is necessary in order for us to be safe. And he goes along with it and agrees. For an example, we talked about the Boston bombing. I fully believe that the information that the NSA has been gathering was part of why the brothers were so quickly identified and surrounded and pursued. I am fairly confident that the investigators that worked that said, okay, we know the geographic area. Give me a 10-mile radius. I want to listen to every phone call that happened in that 10-mile radius for 48 hours before and after, and I want to know any of these buzzwords come up. And I guarantee it helped narrow down the search. So I don't think that it is an issue of accuracy whether or not the intrusion is keeping us safer. The conversation comes in about our rights. What are we willing to do for the rights that are in the Constitution? Now, the reason I bring all this up is the part of the conversation that I had was this individual expressed that the founding fathers, when they wrote the Constitution, did not have any concept of the society that we have today. They had no concept whatsoever of us having high capacity AR-15s and handguns that can or weapons that can, you know, kill a man from 400 yards out. Had no concept of the electronic gadgetry that we had, the cell phones, texting, and et cetera. And so, therefore, the Constitution really doesn't apply to today's society, or at least needs to be updated. And me, of course, being a hardline constitutionalist, was saying, no, the Constitution can be adapted to today's society, and it must be adhered to stringently. And so the conversation was, and this is the example, and this is a hard one. He said, are you willing to risk the safety of your daughter for the sanctity of the Constitution? that question sucks because it really puts to the test what your convictions are. And my answer is yes, I am. It would tear my heart out to have my daughter or my family or anyone that I know and love and respect blown up and hurt and maimed by a terrorist or one of these gunmen or something of that nature. It kills me. But I believe that the character of our founding fathers was that they were willing to risk themselves and their families for the bigger good, that the Constitution, that the design of a republic and adherence to that is bigger than themselves, is more important than themselves. I would hate to be in that position. I would hate to have to look back and think, well, what if I had supported more intrusion? What if I had been more supportive of security? Would this circumstance not happen? I really don't want to be in that position. But my conviction, with all my heart, with all my honesty, right now, is I would rather I and my family be at a bit more of a risk so that my family and the generations to come can live in the United States as it is designed to adhere to the Constitution, a place of peace, a place of hope, a place where you can be the best that you can be, and there are true freedoms. Those that designed our country, those that fought for our country, those that built this country were self-sacrificing. They decided that they would give more of themselves and ask less for themselves. They decided that they would run the risk of financial ruin, of reputation ruin, of life, of having their life stripped from them in order to build something that was great for future generations. Call us now, 715-845-2155, and let us know what you think. We'll take your phone calls after we get back.
The News Station, AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome back to Feedback. 819-715-845-2155 is the phone number. Let's jump right in. Thanks for calling. What's your name? Is that Jeff?
Oh, hello.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for holding on through the break. What can we do for you?
Yeah, sorry. Well, Colonel Jeff Cooper said that an unarmed man can only flee from evil, and evil is not overcome by fleeing from it. I think my question is the answer. How was this gunman stopped?
Armed guards took him out.
Exactly. He was stopped. Someone said, and I can't remember who, a bad guy with a gun is stopped by a good guy with a gun.
Yes.
And that's how this guy was stopped.
Yes.
My thing is, you know, this for one thing, for God's sake, this is a military base.
Yes.
And no one is armed except this guy.
Thanks to Bill Clinton.
I find that incredulous.
Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton created the gun-free zones.
Gun-free zones.
Yep. And where do these shootings happen?
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. I mean, any mass murderer worth his salt is definitely going to go to a place where he's not the first one shot.
Precisely. I mean, are you going to go to the target range of the local police department and a shot? No.
Or any target range for that matter.
Yeah. Well. Exactly.
And my thing is, you know, what would the difference? What kind of a difference would it have been if there would have been many people armed on that base and trained to use their weapons? My God, it's a military base.
I agree. That was the very first thing that I thought about. I thought, why weren't there other people on the base that could have shot him immediately? And so I started digging, and I found out that it was President Clinton that initiated the gun-free zones, which included this particular military base. Brilliant idea.
Thanks, Mr. Clinton, and then he's partly responsible, I would say.
Don't even get me started on Clinton's responsibility. I am going to let you go. I was so angry at Clinton during the 9/11 attacks, I was about ready to blow a gasket. All right, let's go to John. John, thanks for holding on. What can we do for you?
Good morning. I just wanted to address two things. You raised two questions. The first one was, what do we do about people that go nuts like this, and
yes,
how do we interrupt them?
Yes.
Because of our nation of laws, I spent 20 years being a policeman out west, and I was asked this question many, many times: how come we can't do something about this person?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, because of our system of freedoms that we do have, nothing happens until somebody does something.
Right.
We're not allowed to interfere with, because of our own freedoms, we, the police, are not allowed to, intercept people unless we have a concrete reason for thinking that they're about to hurt themselves or somebody else. And that's why a lot of these things can happen, and everybody asks the question afterwards, well, why didn't they do something about that? And the the second issue that I wanted to that you touched on was that, excuse me, I lost my train of thought there for just a second. I think it was, how do we control the guns in the hands of people? What we have to do is, we already have, volumes and volumes and volumes of laws. We just need to enforce them. I would much rather see a guy go to jail for being a felon in possession of a firearm than to see a guy go to prison for writing bad checks.
I agree with you that if we have to make a choice between the two, if there's only room for the one criminal, then we incarcerate the individual that has committed the violent crime. I agree with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, people that have not committed violent crimes, there are many other methods of monitoring out there that are in use today that can be utilized for people that commit nonviolent crimes.
Gotcha. Thank you, John. I appreciate you calling in very much.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye. My conspiracy-minded end of my thought just ran away with me. Hey, follow me down this rabbit trail just for a second, would you? All right. So we have a situation where we have decided as a society that we're going to do the right thing, and we are going to crack down on the gun-violent individual, and we are going to incarcerate those that are violent. But we've decided that we're not going to incarcerate the white-collar crime, but we're going to track the white-collar criminal. What better way to do that than to implant them with a chip? Think about that for a second. That solves the problem, doesn't it? You can't, we would implant it somewhere where they don't know where it's implanted. Let's say back of the head, or an unexpected place, on the wrist.
Well, it is the 20th anniversary mm-hmm. of the X-Files, which, of course, dealt with vaccines, which were used to basically mm-hmm. Identify and mm-hmm. keep track of Americans.
It's a brilliant idea, because that way we can now track the criminal. We can understand exactly what they're doing, monitor perhaps their brain activity, monitor their heart rate, monitor their entire physiology, so that if we see one spike, we can think, uh-oh, this person's in trouble. Let's identify where they are. Oh, and let's turn on all these cameras that we've got all over the city so we can track this individual. Now, I'm being facetious in my tone, but can you set aside all of the emotion for a second and just answer this question honestly, please? Do you see that being a logical explanation or a logical resolution to that particular problem? Keeping in mind that it would also be sold to you that if you were incapacitated and could not speak for yourself and your medical records couldn't be obtained, that all of your medical information would be on that chip too. And immediately first responders could scan it, know exactly what's wrong with you, know exactly what medications you are on and what your medical history is, and be able to treat you much faster and possibly save your life.
You would not sign up for that program, would you?
No. Also, it would be convenient. I hate carrying car keys. I hate carrying around a fob to unlock my car doors. You could just scan it. You just scan it over the pad in your house and in your car. No one would be able to access your information in your vehicle or house without you. Gun control. It would be brilliant because the gun would be programmed to your chip. Only you could use the gun.
That was Skyfall, James Bond.
Thank you. I know that. But do you hear what I'm saying?
I do.
Do you understand
I do.
The logic?
It's going to come to that eventually. Not in our lifetime.
Do you believe it's inevitable?
I don't know about inevitable, but I think it will be embraced in societies of the future. Not in our lifetime. Just to use guns as the example, the pro-gun legislators and the money that is behind them is not going to allow any major changes to the way we deal with guns and the way we keep guns out of the hands of people like this guy who went on the shooting rampage yesterday.
Yeah.
This is going to be a regular occurrence for the foreseeable future. As horrible and as tragic as it is, we are going to see shootings like this on a regular basis because we are unwilling to change the way we deal with guns in this country like other countries have. We are unwilling to change the Constitution
less
in a way.
Less guns do not mean less crime.
Well,
you know that.
I tell you what, the way guns are dealt with and the way guns are kept out of the hands of mentally unstable people is different in other countries, and they do not have the shootings on a regular basis that we have in this country.
If you are saying that individuals need to submit to psychological evaluations and that type of thing before getting a gun, I'm going to have to disagree with you. However, if an individual has committed a crime, is suffering from mental illness, that type of thing, then their right to own a gun should then be restricted because then they have demonstrated that there is a problem. They should not have to be assumed guilty or deficient and have to prove themselves worthy in order to be able to be accessing their constitutional rights.
Then we're going to have these shootings on a regular basis.
And this is exactly why I was saying that we have to be a society that is willing to accept the risk and responsibility for the freedom that comes with the Constitution to our republic. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. We will be right back.
The Wisconsin Morning News to start your day.
Feedback at 8.
The biggest talkers.
And did we mention baseball?
There's only one station that delivers it all.
Every day.
AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.